Where do you get your podcast guests? I've been asked that a lot lately.
Sometimes I wonder this sometimes often. By you.
No. Well, today's guest actually came from an email. It was an email from a PR company that, truthfully, I almost deleted because it was about ergonomics and your back. And I was like, oh,
yes. Boring.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I'll be honest. I was kind of snooze fest until I saw this one name in there, Jean Couch. And it jumped at me because years ago, a woman named Jean Couch wrote this book called The Runner's Yoga Book, which everybody bought. I don't think any of us actually read it because we still are not very flexible. But I just remembered the name and what a big deal she was for so many years. So I'm thinking, like, how is she tied up with a tech launch in Silicon Valley? Well, it turns out she has helped develop this new thing. It's artificial intelligence combining with ergonomics. And the goal is to help people with back pain. And 30% of Americans have some kind of lower back pain. Do you ever have it?
Sometimes, yeah.
You cart a lot of stuff around.
I do. I carry a lot of heavy loads.
Yes, you do. And then we're not even talking about, you know, the gear at that point. You do. You deal with a lot. And, you know, 30% of us are feeling some sort of lower back pain at some point. It's the number one cause of disability in this country, which is a big deal. And when you're feeling physical pain, a lot of times it's depressing. So there are a lot of side effects that come with it. So we're going to talk today with a wellness entrepreneur. His name is Richard Gray. He's the one who teamed up with Jean Couch. They've come up with artificial intelligence that is going to change the way we sit. This stuff is kind of crazy. It's kind of out there. And in this time to ask, we're going to find out what it takes to launch a product in Silicon Valley and how hard it can be, even when you have something that most of us need. It's not an easy thing. It's super interesting. I'm sitting up straight right now.
I am now.
You are now. This is Dying to Ask.
I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and I am obsessed with knowing how people do things. They write the book, they start the company, they go from idea to reality. I call it the art of the follow-through, and I want to know how people go from A to B. This is the Dying to Ask podcast.
I'm almost afraid to ask this question, but how are your chairs?
Well, it's not bad.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Well, from Jean Couch, the posture expert, that's not a bad answer. How about you, Richard Gray?
You know, I actually quite like this, and it's often the really simple chairs, and no offense to NBC, this is a very simple chair.
Oh, no, no, we do simple well.
I find them, they're actually much easier to sit in, and it's actually a stark reminder that you can sit really badly in a very expensive chair.
Well, before you guys came in, true story, I actually took all the furniture out of here, and the chairs that Jeff and I are sitting in, that's what we had here, but I looked for something that I thought might be more in line with what we're here to talk about today. So I'm glad to know that I picked the chairs correctly.
Yeah. I almost switched them because they didn't match.
Uh-huh. I know. That's how you are. All right. So we're here today to talk about posture. Richard Gray, you're a wellness entrepreneur and you are launching something called Bright Day. And I find it absolutely fascinating because in our world, there are not many things that are universal experiences, but posture is definitely one of them. So tell us a little bit about what is Bright Day.
Yeah, so we've developed software that lives on your computer and that you can utilize when you want to during your workday that helps you sit at your desk while you're working and corrects your posture. So we've built little videos into our app. You watch those videos and then you sit into a good posture and just get on with your workday. And the good posture that you're sitting in is tracked. So when you fall into a bad posture, a little avatar pops up on your screen and corrects you. Just like those days when your mother or your grandmother said, sit up straight.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have that. There's nobody saying sit up straight, just a little avatar to remind you with color and with image just to get back into that good posture.
When I was a kid, it was my mother, and it was a flick of the finger in your back. Sit up straight. And those three words would, I mean, I still feel it in my back. You would jolt back up. What is it about posture in this country that made you think we need to fix it, and I think I've got technology that can do it?
Yeah, you know, Deirdre, what it was the simple statistic that 85% of the U.S. population spends 7 hours a day sitting at work. And it's a huge amount of time. And out of that time, on average, each person spends 38 minutes of every hour in poor posture. That's a lot of time to be in poor posture. Mm-hmm. And the effects of that poor posture, we all know that ends up with back pain. But there's a whole set of other factors around how we think, how we feel, how we act, how we get nutrition to our brain that are affected by our posture.
You know, I read with the CDC says that 30% of Americans have lower back pain, and then lower back pain is the leading cause of disability in this country, which I would assume is why, as a nation, the idea of studying ergonomics became financially viable.
Right. And you know,
because people who hurt don't show up for work.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
It is.
And they go to the doctor.
And they go to the doctor a lot.
The insurance.
And yeah. I think it is certainly in the United States and in, I think, any developed nation, it's a top three expense for every big business in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it varies according. It's $150 to $250 billion a year mm-hmm. are spent on yeah. dealing with back pain and the loss of productivity from back pain. So it's a big, big problem at a corporate level. It's a big, big problem at a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
We're approaching it more from the personal, but we think that corporations should be adopting this wholesale in order to be able to solve their part of the equation, if you like.
Okay, you were an investment banker in London for 10 years. How
for my
did you?
Sins, for okay. My sins.
How did a nice investment banker from London, maybe I don't know if anybody's ever said that, end up in Silicon Valley talking about wellness?
Yeah, I when I was 32, I'd been investment banking for 10 years, and I just realized I needed to do something different with my life. I thought I had everything. I had a great job. I was making good money. You know, I was living in a wonderful city. I had lots of friends.
Did you have a nice flat?
I had a nice flat,
You had
flat
a nice
too.
Flat. I thought
did
so,
have
yeah.
a nice flat. And I just thought, you know what? Forget all of that, because I just wasn't happy, so I wanted to go and do something else. And in order to do that, I didn't have the strength to do it locally, so I came 8,000 miles and did it in San Francisco.
It's easier to reinvent yourself in other places
sometimes. Yeah. There was less temptation
yeah.
to return to, you know, to banking. So I made that leap and got involved in wellness. Wellness in California is a far bigger industry. It's a far more established industry than in Europe.
Was that purely because you were interested in wellness, or that's the job that presented itself?
Yeah, no, I was interested. You know, I was really interested in the concept of generic wellness, how solutions could be brought about that could be adopted by masses in an effective way. And the first companies I got involved in were physical products. So that was, for me, at that mm-hmm. time, software wasn't able to do very much.
Is there anything that you worked on that we would recognize?
Well, I worked on a company called Claris, which was mm-hmm. a subtle energy-based product that was used by chiropractors to help with adjustments.
Oh. Hmm.
So it was very much in the field, sort of energy field, very cutting edge. We did some super research, and I believe the company's still doing quite well. So I started there, but what I really wanted to do was to find ways to whereby large numbers of people benefit from good wellness solutions.
And isn't that the key in Silicon Valley right now? I mean, if you want to launch software, launch an app, you have to fix a problem. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a problem we don't even know we have.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, I think it's what's being done very well right now is the adoption of new technologies into these big problem areas. And I really take my hat off to Headspace and Calm, the two big meditation apps
yeah.
that have just done a tremendous job. We were talking about that earlier. It's just, I mean, amazing to think that they've taken this, you know, what was really just a very small group of people that were involved in meditation and brought it to the masses. And it's through technology.
So what made you think I got to get the world to sit up straight?
Well, I mean, there were two parts to this. Number one was my co-founder coming to me with an idea that he had around using headsets. I wasn't so keen on that because it was physical products again. And this moment that we had when he was walking past my house.
So he lives near you.
He lives near me in San Francisco. And this is absolutely true. It's amazing. You know, companies start in funny ways.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those occasions. And he was walking down past my house, and I work in an office on the first floor of my house. And I was slumped over my computer. And
he's staring at you through a window?
He's walking down the
That's
hill.
That's not creepy.
And he's slightly creepy looking. He texts me, sit up straight. And so I sit up straight, and I'm looking at the camera of the computer. And I text him back and go, Peter, that's the product. Posture through the camera of the computer.
I would have texted him and said, Peter, back off.
Yeah, back exactly. off. Yeah. What the other way?
But that was the lightning bolt moment where you realized there's something else.
Yeah, and you know, the same day, I obviously went straight onto Google and finding out about posture, and of course what comes up is Amy Cuddy's TED Talk,
Which is huge right now.
Huge. And breakthrough about the fact that posture's just not about back pain. It's about these other facets into wellness. So I was like, to me, that was just an amazing stat that so many people, second most watched TED Talk of all time, is on posture. And then there were other things that came up around that that supported that. So we then decided to take a look at, could this be done with software through the basic camera of a computer? Because the camera of a computer isn't a particularly well-developed bit of hardware. It isn't a phone. In a basic computer, it's absolutely not.
And so how long did it take from Peter staring through your window to having software, which is now out as of now?
Just short of 3 years.
Is that a long time in Silicon Valley, or is that a short time?
It feels like a long time to
me. I'm sure it feels like lifetimes.
My CTO will tell me what version of the software we're on, but I believe it's 150-odd versions.
Wow.
That we've had to develop. And we were lucky. We started working with some super smart people at the University of Pennsylvania, the GRASP lab there, the General Robotics and Sensor Perception Lab. And so we started the very first iterations there, and then we brought it over to San Francisco, and we started working on it and working on the user experiences. But it's a long journey, and people say, well, you know, just build something and throw it out there. You can't really do that with something like this, because guess what? It won't work very well. They have a bad experience, et cetera. So we decided to build a lot more before we went there. We already knew we were dealing with a big pain point. The question was, could we delight? So we wanted to build it really well, really robustly, and then secondarily go out to the market. That just meant it was a longer period of time.
You also needed to have someone on your side with some authority about posture who could say, you know what, these guys are onto something. You found that person, and when we come back, we'll bring Jean Couch into the conversation. She is, if you Google Jean's name with posture, the internet goes nuts. She is one of the world's leading experts on posture, and she likes this idea. We'll find out why right after this.
4 a.m. It's a new day. Okay, so the roosters aren't even awake yet. But KCRA3 Morning News is. If it happened overnight, Deirdre, Teo, Tony, and Ty have got it covered. Tamara's forecast is so accurate, your day practically plans itself. And Melody monitors the roadways so you always have the best routes to work. It may be too early to see the sun, but you can always see the 3 and get the 3. News, weather, traffic. KCRA3 from 4 to 7, where the news comes first.
So many, many years ago, I bought a book called The Runner's Yoga Book. Every runner I knew back in the day bought this book because we figured we should buy this book. Most of us, Jean Couch, you are the author. I don't think we ever read that book.
Well, what I found from working with runners...
We're awful.
No, it's that they love to run.
We do.
And that it's hard to get them... The majority of the work really was with injured runners because they had to get back on the road.
That's when we're motivated to actually work on those things.
And
it's very true.
It was a big eye-opener for me because I was into yoga, so I thought everyone would naturally love yoga, and that was just the beginning days of yoga at all.
What year did that book come out?
1979.
Okay, because I'll tell you what, it was on every physical therapist, bookshelf, and every running store had a copy of it. I mean, really and truly, you were the person who talked about how your posture, your stretching and talking about these things that, as runners, we didn't do. So I'm thrilled to get to have you here today. I kind of flipped out when I saw your name attached to this software. How did you become so obsessed and become an expert in posture?
Well, for one, I had horrible posture, no matter how much yoga I had done. So during yoga, I could pull myself up into what I thought was straight. But in my everyday life, I was just collapsed. And I really hated posture. I'd kind of given up on it. And then a woman who came from Paris, she brought this research here to the United States. And the minute I saw her, I knew she knew something I didn't. And so what it's based on, one, it's based on studying populations of people who stay straight all their lives and carry weight on their head. And then we just imitate what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But what it is, we're positioning your bones so that your bones absorb your body weight. And in the United States now, everyone has what we call modern posture, and they're carrying all their weight in their muscles, so the bones get weaker and the muscles get weaker because they get more and more tense.
Yeah. And so you, over the last 40 years, have just become obsessed with good posture, because good posture means feeling good.
Totally. I mean, and it's totally transformed my body. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm 75, and I'm still getting straighter. And what we see is we can transform people in a short amount of time, really. Hey, but the reason I'm so excited about the app is that I have always said, hey, if we could get everybody in the United States to stop sitting on the back of their butt and to sit on the bottom of the butt, we could cure half of back pain.
So in yoga, they always talk about the sits bones. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, we actually, in time, you actually even sit further forward than the buttock bones. You actually sit forward on the pubic bones where they're flat on the bottom. But that may take time. But in Silicon Valley, everybody sits like a cashew, right? So I mean, we all look like a nation of nuts.
So many ways we could take that.
Yeah, right. In many ways. So everybody, their waist falls back, and they're on the muscle and not on the bone. So if we could just have people lift their butt up off the chair and stick their butt way into the corner of their chair and then relax, people will get dramatically better just from that.
Okay, so you've been doing this like one set of sits bones at a time for decades.
Yeah.
But Richard, when this idea comes up, at what point did you realize, like, I really got to have somebody who is an expert on this to kind of endorse it, to say, yeah, this is it? And how did you guys hook up?
Yeah, and the simple answer was, as soon as we knew that we could build the software, we realized that in order for this to work, there had to be an educative aspect. So we had to do built-in video. And the minute we were doing built-in video, we're educating. The minute we're educating, we are, as software engineers and business people, are out of our depth.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go where that knowledge is, and we went to Gene, because we researched and we found that there are a group of people that are experts in the field of posture.
They're a handful.
They're a really interesting group. But all of the training comes from this one person that Jean talks about very eloquently, and I'll leave it to her, this lady in Paris who went and looked at these indigenous populations and really studied why they didn't have back pain. And that was the central piece of her work, and that appealed to us greatly. The simplicity with which Gene is able to deliver these solutions, in terms of, it wasn't complex.
Did you think she'd say yes? Were you nervous going in?
I mean, yeah. She didn't say yes straight away. So it was, we had to court Gene.
We did. Out of curiosity, how do you court Gene? You sit up straight.
good posture. But it was, we really needed to show her that the technology was robust, that it wasn't going to have people in rigid positions, because that is anathema to Gene and to anybody who speak about posture, having people sit rigidly where they're not moving. So we didn't want the software needed to be very adaptive. It needed to be gentle. It needed to be not so that you were being given direction every 2 seconds, so it made you nervous, so you were sitting like a straight rock.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things were things that we had to solve to satisfy Jean, that she would say, okay, now I'll go with you. So yeah, it was a courting process, and it was the right one because we got a huge amount of learning. And taking that hands-on learning and building software with it, that's fun. It's fun to do.
I don't want this to sound stereotypical, but it's going to sound stereotypical. My mother is 80 and refuses to use any apps on an iPhone. From the moment you walked in this building, you've been on your iPhone, which I think is hilarious, and you are really good with it. What about did you love the idea of using the technology? Because I would think that a lot of 75-year-olds wouldn't be as open to the technology. Again, I know that sounds very stereotypical, and I mean it as a compliment.
Yeah. The question was, how can we help a lot of people quickly? You know, and also the hardest population to work with to teach are children, because they're already so collapsed that very few of them are bending at their hip. They're all bending at their waist.
Is that because they're more sedentary than when they used to be?
Well, that, and they're already on screen time at early ages. But really, when kids go to nursery school and they're told to crisscross applesauce, What shape do you think of when you think of applesauce?
Splat.
But they learn very early on to slouch, and then when they go to kindergarten, they want to look like the first graders, and the first graders are slouched. So by far, they're the most at risk, and they're the hardest group to teach.
That's really interesting. Are we as Americans, do we have worse posture than the rest of the world?
No.
Who's worse?
So, well, I really couldn't say that. But we've exported this posture all around the world. And, you know, like now they're getting more and more cell phones in India. And as kids in India look at pop culture, you know, a lot of YouTube,
yeah,
and they see modern posture, they want to be modern, and they begin to collapse their posture.
That is fascinating. Yeah.
So it's like it's going all around the world.
Who still has good posture?
Well, I was just in Papua New Guinea. But you
of course
to,
you were.
You have
Eugene
to, yeah, right. But you have to get more and more remote these days to really see a whole culture in it. But maybe 10, 12 years ago, my husband and I, we were in Bolivia, and we were in La Paz, and it was so much fun because you could see business people who were still in absolute balanced, natural alignment, and they were so relaxed, and it was so inspirational to me. But I'll bet if we went back today, that would be dramatically different.
So interesting. Yeah. So interesting. Is part of it, Richard, because we put so much padding into chairs and stuff now? I mean, like, when I grew up, we had real traditional desks, and it was a wooden bottom and a wooden back. And I remember my school desk being mm-hmm. like that. And now, you know, you walk around most modern offices and it looks like you could launch a space shuttle for most of these mm-hmm. chairs because there's so much padding and armrests and all that. Has our furniture also changed the way we sit?
Well, I'll let Jean answer some of that. What I've observed, and I'm not an ergonomist, and I'm not a posture expert like Jean is.
Do you play one on TV? I bet you could. After 3 years.
Yeah. But what I do know is that... you know, the chairs that are used in businesses, it really doesn't matter whether you've got the executive chair that's $2,000 mm-hmm. or whether you're sitting on a very simple chair like the one I'm sitting on right yeah. now.
The one you said really, you liked.
Which I do like.
Okay, good.
And it really doesn't matter because what matters is what you do in the chair, what you do with your posture and your behavior. That's the key. It's not the chair. Now, I'll let Jean add some more about that, but I think there's a whole piece about this about sit-stand.
Yeah.
Because everybody's getting sit-stand desks. But I think the key problem is not the chair, it's the sedentary behavior.
It's the way you're sitting.
Yeah,
It's the way you're sitting yeah. and the amount you're sitting.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So go back to what Jean was saying about, well, you know, if you go to Papua New Guinea, Bolivia, well, I would guess that they're not spending 7 or 8 hours a day sitting at their desks. They're moving around more, mm-hmm. generally.
Doing more.
But our workforces, and it's not a U.S. phenomenon, by the way, it's an industrialized phenomenon,
yeah.
is that we now have a very large percentage of our workforce that is office bound.
So within the app, you know, basically you load it on the computer, and then there's, like you were saying, you've got the little figure who's kind of showing you how to sit. In 20 seconds, Jean, talk us through sitting correctly in a chair.
So you'd to change your posture, in other words, you have to lift your butt off the chair a couple inches.
Jeff, are you listening?
You can't
lift your butt.
Scoot
okay.
up. So you have to lift your butt up, and then you bend definitively at your hip socket.
Okay.
And your hip socket is at the top of your leg. Now, almost everyone in the United States, if you ask them to bend, everybody bends at the waist. So when you lift up, you want to find the bottom of your butt and move the bottom of your butt way back into the corner of the chair. Hey, and in the beginning, it'll really help you if you put your butt back so the chair, like this chair is great, can hold your pelvis. Because in the beginning, when people first do it, if they're sitting forward, they get sat right. But the minute they start computing and their mind goes into the content, the pelvis will fall backwards,
yeah.
and then they'll be on the bottom of the back of the butt, which collapses the pelvis, the whole spine forward.
And that's when things go south.
That's when things go south.
Okay.
So really, if we could get everyone just to sit on the bottom of their butts and just relax their back, and how do you relax your back? You have to go down in the front, And we've all been told to lift our chest. So go ahead and lift your chest. And what tightens?
Lower back.
Your back.
Yeah.
So your vertebrae are tipped when you lift. And that's what narrows the disc. And your back is tight. And the weakest muscles in your body are the tight ones. So what do? You relax. You do nothing. Or I could say chest down. And then the bones stack and the weight goes in the bone. And you get more and more comfortable.
It's almost instant, too.
Yeah, it's instant.
It's really, it's very interesting.
It feels slouchy, though.
It does, but and it feels that, but it's not that.
Yeah. It's not that, yeah.
Because we think that we're sitting correctly.
Yeah. Hey, well, and from slouching, from sitting on the back of your butt and reaching out, everybody's grown their head and shoulders forward. Mm-hmm. So when we straighten your butt and your spine, the head and shoulders are still forward, so everybody feels really slouched. So then you just pick up a shoulder and move it back and down. Mm-hmm. You do one shoulder at a time. And then just back up your neck. You can think of taking your Adam's apple back and the back of the neck gets long. And then after you've done it, then you forget it.
Can I say a real girl thing here?
Yes, you may.
You look better that way too, don't you?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
So I was...
I think it's a guy thing too. You know, I think guys look better if they sit back.
Hey, but really, two of my motivating factors for me personally is if anything hurts, I'll check. And then if I see people really slouched, I am so vain that I go, not me, not me.
All right. Well, we've taken the bait. And we're feeling a little bit better and we're seeing the value in it. What I want to talk about when we come back after this break is about what it takes to actually launch something like this. Because I can't imagine anybody not thinking that this is a good idea. Mm-hmm. But just because something is a good idea doesn't mean it's going to be successful. Right. So I want to know the behind the scenes of what it's like to launch a product like this. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that right after this.
KCRA3, your best choice for news at 11.
Live team coverage tonight.
No Sacramento station covers Northern California better than KCRA3.
We have breaking news on that rescue.
With resources to bring you the story wherever it happens.
Get those cannons away from me!
And detailed perspectives you won't see anywhere else.
Livecopter 3 shows that fire burning.
The experience you've come to trust every night.
Here's what we know right now.
Your best choice for news at 11. KCRA3, where the news comes first.
Richard, the app launch, Bright Day, launched this week. What's the hardest thing these days about launching an app? Because it sure seems like there, like podcasts, a lot of them out there.
Well, I think you just indicated the answer to the question. It is getting attention, getting people's attention. Even if you're addressing a big problem in a new way, that helps for sure to get eyeballs. But you know, we're just competing with for anybody's time to come and take a look at us, to come and spend a couple of minutes seeing this new idea and feeling into it and looking into it and deciding that they may want to use it. So it's just competing for time. It's very difficult in today's world.
What do we know about if you can get somebody to try something? Like, how many times do they have to try it with an app like this before you get them hooked? The one I'm thinking of is Headspace, which is a meditation app, which I am hooked on. My whole family uses this thing, and it's an amazing, to me, what it offers is great, but I love it because it did something for me very quickly. It changed how I felt about myself, and it changed the way I viewed everything around me. It gave me tools. Is it similar with something like this? Is wellness?
Yeah, no, it's a little bit similar. There's been some really good research out about it, actually. And on average, and I say on average, it takes about 60 days to bring about behavior change.
That's a long time.
60 days. So now, obviously, for some things, it's going to be a lot more. For some things, a lot less. But on average, it's around that. So what we like to do is to have somebody with Bright Day use it for 10 working days, for, you know, every day for a very short period of time, 15 minutes, that type of thing, so that they can get the education, get the initial experience, get the initial corrections, and then we have them do tune-ups thereafter that they can choose when every day, twice a day, once a week, whatever works for them. And then we hope that over that period of time, it'll work differently for different people. Some people will adapt very, very quickly. And we've seen that. We've seen literally people within a day or two be like, oh my gosh, this has completely changed the way I'm sitting. I feel much, much better. And also their awareness about posture has completely changed, which means they're going home thinking about it and they're sitting in their cars better when they're commuting. They are going and sitting at the dining room table and saying to their partner, by the way, you slouch.
That'll go over well.
You need to do this.
And you were late.
we get a lot of anecdotes where we spent all of last year doing testing, and we just got so much information back about, which was surprising to us. It wasn't our initial intention, but, you know, about this awareness issue. So behavior change for the individual, awareness such that they then become a proponent for sitting better, standing better, etc., you know, into their own communities, whether it's their family, their kids. I mean, my 16-year-old, horrendous. He's got horrendous posture. I mean, he spends way too much time on his computer. Allegedly homework, but yeah. We know that.
I don't buy that either. Yeah, I got that
it.
Same
well, I know
thing.
It's not. Now, I mean, and he's got bright day, obviously, and I force him. He's getting there. But you know what? What the important thing is his awareness has changed. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think if I walk in the room, he changes his posture. Now.
They all sit up straight when you walk in.
Yeah. So
that's when your follow-up question is, go back one screen. You ever tried that?
No.
Oh, try this. Oh, this God. Works with my 13-year-old. That's I'll come up the stairs. He gets instant great posture. Yeah. I'm like, go back one screen. Why? Yeah. Just do it. Well, it was just a second that I was looking at that video,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's interesting, you know, to look at even like younger people doing it. So who do you envision being your customer? Is it businesses? Because ergonomics is certainly a huge industry right now. Is it individuals? Like, who is it?
Yeah, you know, and I think... the answer to that is if you look at what's happening in the wellness side and with the commoditization of software-orientated wellness products like Headspace, it's a great example where they started in the consumer space and now they're really aggressively going into the business space because there's a demand, because businesses want tools that are easy for their employees to use that are going to improve the health, wellness, happiness even of their employees. Why? Because employee retention is back on the table.
Mm-hmm.
What's the unemployment rate now? I think it was sub 5%. Somebody mm-hmm. will correct me on that, I'm sure. I'm not following economics too closely at the moment. But so it's really important that we've switched to employee retention. It's great for employees because that means we're going to have more benefits. It means our employers are going to look after us a bit better. And this type of innovation should and will become more available to us during our working day, even if we're working at home. I mean, there are countries...
Which a lot of people are, or they're working at Starbucks wherever with flexible work schedules.
Yes, yeah, so, I mean, that's a huge trend in ergonomics. It's a huge workforce trend is that we're moving away from cubicles. We're moving towards distributed workforces, no fixed workstation, working in cafes. Bright day, by the way, you can sit on a sofa and use it.
Right.
So in all of these, and work at home. I mean, to give you an idea, in Brazil, it is a legal requirement for companies to provide ergonomic support to work at home.
Is that right?
Wow. It's a legal requirement. And there's been a lot of court cases in Brazil. It's cost companies a lot of money because they haven't been doing it.
Huh.
So I don't know whether Brazil's going to lead us into a new generation of ergonomics.
Who would have thought that?
Who would have thought that?
Who would have thought that?
But
that's pretty cool, though.
You know, so I think that these trends are here to stay. I think software, the evolution of software and our ability to be able to build better software experiences for users is now reaching, we can do way more with AI, with machine learning, all of these fancy words we hear flicked around.
Yeah, but that also scares people when you talk about privacy. And I mean, is Bright Day like watching me all day long?
Big issue.
Yeah.
And we have to, as technologists, as innovators, we have to cover that ground really carefully. And what we did with Bright Day, and it was a moment where we said, we either get this right or the company doesn't go forward. So we do all of our processing locally on the computer. We don't take any video at all. So
you're not recording my poor posture.
There is no recording of you going on.
Yeah, interesting.
Period. So we use data points that are completely anonymized. And all of the generation of what we're providing you is done locally on the computer. So you don't even need an internet connection to use Bright Day.
What's the biggest mistake you've made?
How long have you got?
What's the funniest mistake you've made? What's it? Because I think a lot of people are sitting there thinking, well, I can think of a solution for something. So what's the biggest mistake you've made as an entrepreneur in Silicon Valley doing something like this?
Oh, gosh, you know, it's such a good question. I would say I consistently and annoyingly underestimate how long it's going to take to produce something like this. So this has been a 3-year journey. I honestly started out and I thought I was being conservative. I thought it would be maybe a year and a half. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought we'd be going to market 2 years max, and it's been a lot longer. Mm-hmm. So it's time. I don't think I've been great at managing that side of it. So sorry
perhaps
to my investors.
Perhaps another app. There's a second app, yeah. Richard.
Yeah, that's a whole other podcast. What I call the quality of time.
I call time currency.
Ah, that I like.
You can steal that if you want.
Well, that could be a new cryptocurrency.
To me, time is my currency because it's so limited to me where I am as a working mom with two children, and my husband's an entrepreneur. I mean, there's limited time.
I think that's a really interesting concept, actually. We might need to take you on as an advisor to flesh that out. But I think the other, you know, it's like time as a currency. It's such a vital one, you know. I mean, it's what we have so little of. So I think getting that piece right, I've been playing around with in my mind as to how we can help people manage that better. That's not just a productivity tool.
Right. You know, what's the best thing about being an entrepreneur in Silicon Valley these days?
Well, it's hideously expensive to build a business here. That's the downside. What's the good side is there's just a lot of the ecosystem around Silicon Valley is very well developed for supporting companies that are trying to solve big problems. So I think that's great. I do think the more recent trend has been to wait to really support those companies until they have that are more developed than they used to be, which means that we as entrepreneurs have to go further in our journey before we get more support.
Because the stereotype was you're working in your parents' garage and you're 20 coming up with a lot of this stuff. You're not doing that.
Well, no, because I'm 53.
But I think it's interesting that things are taking more time than they used to launch and then to see if they're going to be successful.
Yeah, and I think it's a little counter because I know there's a lot of thought out there and that just build it and throw it out there, see what sticks and then iterate. There's a whole model for Silicon Valley around that. I just believe when you're dealing with something like posture back pain, this type of thing, I think the product has to be more developed. I just don't think you can throw out average stuff.
Well, I think it's a good thing that Pete was staring at you through that window.
Well, thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Peter.
And thank you, Jean, for believing in us because we really needed that expertise.
Well, she was onto this many, many years ago.
Indeed.
And it's interesting to see how technology and what you knew just intuitively fixing yourself, how it's all come together. How do we keep up with Bright Day and how do people check it out?
Yeah, well, we're live on Kickstarter. So you can go to Kickstarter. You can buy Bright Day at a fantastic price of $49, which will not be the price after Kickstarter. And that goes on for another 28 days. And we're brightday.com, so all one word, Bright Day. And it's super easy to come in and see what we're all about, see the technology, participate, and have a go.
Sounds good. Thank you very much to both of you. Let's sit up straight, Jeff, as we end this. Right. Thank you for writing the Runner's Yoga book.
You're welcome.
250,000 people around the world bought that book. I was one of them many years ago. And eventually I'm going to actually read that book, Jean. I might even start doing some stretches. But I've learned a lot just hanging out with you today. Thank you so much. And best of luck with the Bright Day app.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
First on the scene.
Flames ripped through a Modesto business.
First with the facts.
And one suspect is in custody.
So you're first to know. KCRA 3 News at 4.
Your first chance to get up to speed.
We are the people and we are the power.
To learn what's happening right now.
Another spot fire breaking out across Highway 20.
And to help you prepare for what's next.
When it happens in Northern California, get it first at 4 from the team you trust. KCRA 3 News at 4, where the news comes first.
You can keep up with Bright Day on Instagram. You'll find Bright Day at brightday_tech. And if you listen to us on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitch, or any of those other podcasty places that somehow take our show and put them on their sites, I mean, I'm good with it. Sure. I just don't know how it happens. We want to let you know about something else. We actually run video of the show as well. Jeff, like, throws cameras all over this studio, and he spends a lot of time editing it. If you would like to check it out and see what the people that we're talking to look like or how we interact, you can check that out. The whole thing is uploaded on Facebook, on our KCRA Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Easy way to find it. And then I also put it on my Facebook page, and it's on YouTube as well.
Yep.
So if you want to check that out, go do that. A lot of work.
Kind of.
It's appreciated work.
Medium work.
Medium work. Medium-ish work. You can follow Jeff on Instagram at...
Producer Jeff.
And I'm on Instagram at Run Read Sip. The show is on the gram at Dine to Ask Podcast.
Now, the gram.
If, the gram. If we saved your back today, this is where I'm going to guilt people. Please pay us back by leaving a review on iTunes. The bosses are tracking it. You'll get us on the good list. It's very important. Just please, we would really appreciate it. Our review of the week is from P. Sue, who said, I loved episode 9. You probably won't even remember which one that was because we've done so many now.
That was our Christmas one, wasn't it?
Rachel Hollis.
Oh, Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel Hollis. How quickly they forget. Right. Says, Rachel Hollis was great. I loved how you took her advice and then broke it down for episode 10. Appreciate hearing that. So thanks, P. Suda. We'll see you guys next time on Dying to Ask.
Bye.